cliffcentral.com.
All right. That's Ed Sheeran and Burna Boy along with Stormzy and Own It. Own It this Friday, it's 20th of December. Speaking of music, we started off the show this morning with Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, because it's mandatory at this point in the year. Everybody has to hear it. It's been around for how long? 10 years? 20 years? How long is it?
25 years this year.
25 years, and it's now number one again
on
the Billboard charts. I was just looking at the version that I played, which has got 610 million views on YouTube. And the comments are hilarious.
What are people saying?
Well, people are saying, Christmas is when this song stops hibernating. someone else says, I can't believe that she wrote the song in 15 minutes, which is apparently true.
When you got it, you got it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a official 19th number one single. It sounds like a song she wrote at the very last minute and didn't think twice about it, and that's now one of the best Christmas songs ever.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are just listening to it because it's back at number one, which will make it even more successful. Mariah apparently makes more money out of this song than all of her other songs put together.
Yeah, it sustains her. Well, more than that. But
take a listen to this. $600,000. That is what the song is estimated to bring simply between November of 2019 and Christmas.
How much?
$600,000. If Mariah does not move an inch, if she does not get up anywhere, $600,000 in total since it has released 25 years ago, the song has earned more than $60 million in royalties.
Wow.
$60 million. She doesn't have to leave the house, release another piece of music. She doesn't have to perform the song anymore. The fact that it's used in commercials, used in movies, referenced, that is how much people have to pay her to use the song. So $600,000 to me for 3 weeks, doesn't sound like she's missing out on anything.
No,
it sounds like a lot.
She loves this, though. She makes a big fuss of it every year at Christmas, and you know, Mariah is not the singer that she once was.
No, I mean, her voice is aged. She can't reach those notes.
Yeah.
I know how it feels.
No.
I was this morning, that Patrick Swayze song from Dirty Dancing, She's Like the Wind, came on. Mm-hmm. And I remember singing that. I had the cassette and, oh boy, I loved it. I knew every word. I tried to sing it on the way here. I couldn't reach those notes. When the woman comes in, it's like.
But I actually laughed so hard a couple of days ago when a friend of mine, at the beginning of this week, posted a couple of Insta stories saying, this will be my mood at work this week, reflecting how my work ethic. And it was all snippets of Mariah Carey performances on stage. And really, when you look at Mariah performing on stage, she doesn't move much. She always just shimmies slightly.
Yeah, she doesn't learn any steps.
No. Then she has male dancers just pick her up from one side of the stage to the other. That is really reflective of how much they'll be working. But going back to those high notes, I don't know. I'm not really bothered by Mariah not hitting those high notes anymore. Just because she's Mariah.
No, not at all.
You know, if you compare her to like a just popped up around the corner new artist from last year and they're lip syncing, come on, what really is your talent? But Mariah has proved herself. She's given us hit after hit. Now I'm not really fazed.
It's all recorded and it's safe.
Yeah, I remember when she last performed in the country. I think it was easily 2 or 3 years ago, and
Do you remember that video? Remember the video of her Times Square where she didn't make an effort.
She was lip syncing.
An audio problem.
Yeah, she was lip syncing to the point where she wasn't hearing the song
and
in
then
her
she just gave
ears,
up.
And then she gave up. I was like,
I don't need this money.
When she was in the country, she was 2 hours and some change late.
She doesn't give a shit.
She was performing at the Dome, which is a venue here in Johannesburg, to the point where like there were opening acts up until like the stage ended up being dark and then there was just some random music playing in the background. We in the audience actually saw her pull up, and usually artists, you know, they probably, I don't know, they're doing some things backstage. Mariah Carey pulled right up to the stage.
As in her, the car.
Her car's pulled up onto stage. She got out and then was just like, hello, South Africa. And we all went wild, like, okay, yeah, it's Mariah, it's fine. And then her kids were sitting on a couch on the side of the stage. It's like, so yeah, odd. It's Mariah, it's fine, we'll forgive it.
She doesn't care. Mm. She's trying to impress awesome. Anybody.
Because, yeah. You know, she can keep quiet and she'll still earn $600,000 from one song.
Well, like these little kids now on YouTube. An 8-year-old has made 26 million rand on YouTube, sorry, dollars on YouTube this year alone.
Oh, that makes it worse. $26 million?
Yeah. He's now topped a 5-year-old who made $18 million. That was last year's biggie.
Are these all kids who are...
not, they're not at Lemonade Stands.
Are they like testing the toys? And because I know that's a big thing, like unboxing and doing toy
reviews. What are these so
eight-year-old Ryan Kaji, Ryan R-Y-A-N, Kaji, K-A-J-I, made a whopping $26 million off of his videos. Yes, he started by reviewing and unboxing toys, but has since graduated to science experiments.
Oh.
He even has a deal with Nickelodeon and Hulu. So, yeah, he's not the only one. There's a 5-year-old Anastasia Radzinskaya. She made $18 million this year. She's been producing videos of her playing with her father. She also shares these videos in 8 languages. So these kids are quite talented. I mean, they're not just...
Sure. Good for them. I got to get my nephews working.
Joe Jackson style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Joe Jackson style.
You know, and again, we've got to refer to those kids in the cobalt mines because
yeah.
I know a lot of people were very, very impressed with that and we've had huge amounts of feedback, probably about more about that than anything else this whole year on the show. People really do believe that these cobalt mines, we should have cameras, the kids should be filling in timesheets. They should be putting the cobalt they've mined on the scales at the end of the day so we can see how much they're doing and really encourage other kids to be as productive as they are.
Then they can go home for 6 hours and then they must be back to work another day.
Yes. No, exactly. 6 hours. It's way too much. Wow.
You want to form the right habits early, right?
You only need 4 hours of sleep and at least 1 hour to eat. That's it. Then so 5 hours, I say.
Yeah, that Joe Jackson style for those types of kids. That's what you really have kids for, is to get to retire early, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that's why you make children.
Exactly. What else are you, doing? Loving them.
YouTube's trying to stop kids from making money on YouTube, right?
Oh, no. Why?
They've settled with the Federal Trade Commission for allegedly violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. In response, YouTube has said it'll ban ads on YouTube that specifically target children. They might also modify search so that children's videos don't appear so highly in the results.
Oh.
Yeah, I suppose there are a bunch of creeps who also watch these things.
Well, yeah, I remember a couple of months ago, YouTube was trying to make a big push in terms of alleviating paedophilia on the platform.
Well, they've stopped. Mbulelo used to go and sleep in his car at the school down the road, and they've stopped him from doing that.
Yeah, that was only for 3 years, though, Gareth.
Only 3 years. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, all right. We'll move past here's that. A question from Daryl. Daryl says, when are you going to put a webcam in the studio so we can stream the show live? That would be great fun. You know, we've tried that, but then we have to... we have to be aware of the cameras, and it's just I don't like it. You use your imagination. You can picture Mbulelo's loud shirt in your head. It's way worse in your head than it is in reality. Did you know that Joe Biden used to have a stutter when he was a kid?
Oh.
He said, I've worked my whole life to overcome a stutter. It's a great honor to mentor kids who've experienced the same. It's called empathy. Look it up.
Oh, never mind. I don't know if I buy it anymore.
Maybe his father beat it out of him.
Or maybe this is a story he's using to be relatable.
Well, apparently he was responding to a tweet from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He said something about how he can't speak properly. But he can't. You heard that whole speech with the legs and the hair and the legs, and it's the weirdest conversation you've ever heard in your life. Mm. Such a nutcase. While we're talking about nutcases, really, I mean, it is no politics Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Democrats apparently had another debate last night. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's watching all these debates, but they had another one, and Elizabeth Warren was just terrible. She was saying things like, I may not be perfect, but I try. I'm trying. Listen to this. This is horrible. I don't know why anyone needs to listen to this, but she's just, she's so insincere and unbelievable. I want to play this for you quickly. She was talking about an attack on her by Pete Buttigieg, right? Pete Buttigieg is, of course, the other candidate, Mayor Pete, from a little town in Iowa. What is this going on here? Oh, okay, here it is. So here it is. This is.
You are a millionaire. Are you saying if I take money from you, I'm corrupt? I didn't hear you respond to that.
Oh.
If I run for office, which I never will, and I took money from you, would I be corrupt?
I said I don't sell access to my time.
So whether you give
me $5 or whatever is the maximum, I'm not spending my time doing call time. I'm not spending my time having private
conversations with you. Are you worried about this whole idea? I'm not selling a photograph for $5,000. Well said, well said. But are you worried? When he says a thing, when he says a thing, purity test, that resonates with me.
Yeah.
I do feel that there's something beginning to happen in the party where you've got to be pure on every issue. You've got to be above. And a lot of people start feeling left out and excluded by your kind of populism, which can sometimes sound elitist. Does that make sense to you?
You know, that's not how I see it. I don't think the American people are looking for purity. I think they're looking for someone who's trying.
Oh, someone who's trying. I hate language like that. Such defeatist bullshit. Really is. There's about as much strength in Elizabeth Warren as there is in one of those soft plants.
It's meaningless.
Yeah, all right. We'll leave that alone.
Just a quick one, though. The Republicans have been comparing all of this to Jesus being put on the cross.
Oh, the impeachment saga?
Yeah. And I mean, that's like really taking it a bit far.
Mm. Right. Especially since Jesus is gay. Sorry, I just want to reference that for as long as this Netflix thing is relevant.
It's, right.
Hey, I should bring that up with my parents.
Yeah, that's true. There's your chance.
At the Christmas sermon.
At the Christmas table.
Yeah.
Could you please pass the turkey? And by the way, what about that gay Jesus? Oh, happy birthday, gay Jesus.
Yeah. Well, listen, after all the Christmas eating, we might have to look at ways of burning up these calories, and this is one way.
Yeah, now I'm all ears. Go.
This is the longest walkable distance on Earth.
I am not interested in this.
You can
not,
just.
I am not. I will not.
If you, you live, know, often if you look I lie in bed at night. I know Bulelo actually probably would want to do this. Lie in bed at night and think, what is the last thing I want to do is walk the longest possible walkable distance for a human being.
So in theory, I mean, if you think about it, you know, our map very well.
Yes, the map of the Earth.
Of the round globe.
Right.
Can you think of how far you could walk on foot?
Probably the furthest is
from a place to a place.
I reckon from here, like Cape Town or Cape...
Cape to Cairo plus something.
Cape Agulhas is the southernmost point, right? And you'd walk all the way up because you could cross. There's a land bridge at the Red Sea or whatever it is, the Sinai, somewhere around there. You could go across from Egypt into Asia, and then you'd go all the way maybe to Kamchatka Peninsula in Russia.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it right.
Oh!
Very close.
That's really impressive.
So it's 14,000 miles.
And now I would walk 14,000. Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
From South Africa, specifically Agulhas, to the extreme north Russia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It would obviously be grueling, would be filled with scary animals and diversely bad weather.
Yeah, you are being very polite in the way you're explaining it.
You're going through sub-Saharan Africa. I imagine it wouldn't be a walk in the park.
At no point would you need to even use a small boat to ferry across a river because the entire route is made up of roads and bridges.
Oh, wow.
And to go further into northeastern Russia, you'd need to cross through terrain that currently isn't walkable. A real person walking this route at a sustainable pace would need about 3 years to complete the trip. So it's doable.
Hmm.
You'd have to, they'd need to pack a variety of things.
Yeah, like very, very warm clothes for the Russian part and like hardly any clothes at all for the sub-Saharan African part.
That's right. So they would need to sell and buy stuff along the way. Desert gear, rain gear, body armor for sections through war-torn regions like South Sudan.
Right. But I don't know who would want to do this.
Don't put it past Mbulel.
See, you're being very mean.
No.
Sure. People are even commenting on it.
No, he loves that. This is such a bitch. That's his thing. Breaking records and, you know, yes.
I would really love to see someone do this.
Would you?
Yeah.
You'd want to watch the whole progress?
Can you imagine that being filmed?
Okay. Right.
I feel like this is a YouTube channel you'd subscribe to.
Oh, yes.
I know this. This is it.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm still fixating on how I can get my little nephews to start making millions of dollars on the internet.
Yeah.
They've got little kids who do cooking shows as well.
Yeah. I like this. This is good. You got to put those children to work nice and early. The cobalt miners have taught us.
How long is this going to last, though, this trend of being able to make money off of YouTube?
As long as it lasts.
Something's going to change.
As long as it lasts, I want to be a part of it. That's
But there'll always be something.
Yeah,
that people want to jump onto in a trend that works for people.
Yeah, once you're a YouTube star, you've pretty much made it.
All right, what else is happening?
Next. Okay, Christmas season is coming in, and we know for South Africans it's also a silly season. Thankfully, though, AXA, the airports company South Africa, is on top of things, seemingly, because just this week they've arrested 10 security officers who work at OR Tambo, who were involved in theft. But it wouldn't be silly season if it wasn't something absolutely stupid. These 10 security officers were caught stealing booze and drinking on the job.
Really?
Yes. Because, well, silly season. That's all. AXA...
much of stealing.
Mm-hmm. AXA expects more than 3.6 million passengers to fly in and out during December and January. Isn't mm-hmm. that a lot?
That's a lot.
My goodness. Thank you, SAA, for not... Well, hopefully you won't be making much of a dent to that expected number. And today, the Friday before Christmas, and also the first Friday in January, are expected to have high passenger volumes. And so for anyone who's traveling right now, AXA says that security has been ramped up, you know, with, for example, being able to capture these 10 security officers, with additional members being provided by the police and licensed security contractors. AXA is basically reassuring us, telling us that they are on top of things. Other measures include additional staff to monitor several hundred CCTV cameras in real time, and staff with permits to work on the airside are not only subject to random stop and searches, but are also subject to intensified searches at access points, both entering and leaving access controlled areas. So this is quite... comforting. Yeah, it really is good to hear. Because, I mean, it was only a couple of weeks ago when the Springboks came back. And, of course, there were tons of people who went to go and greet them at the airport. Mm-hmm. And then that story was followed up by tons of people having to go and report cases at the police because they'd been pickpocketed at the That's airport. Right. So we know how things go, sadly, in situations like this. And the fact that there are tons of people who will be traveling in and out of the airport, at least access on top of things. So this is good.
Very nice. Okay, well, there's a positive story.
Mm. Yeah, relatively positive.
I'm going to stay the hell away from the airport. That's what I'm going to do.
On the other side of the scale as well, silly season continues because this week in Durban, already beachgoers are taking over the beach in Durban. And there are a lot of drunk beachgoers as well. There have been so many stupid incidences that have taken place in Durban already. Yeah. A student traffic warden was knocked over and a DSW, a Durban Solid Waste worker, was also assaulted at the beach this week alone, including as well a Metro Police officer was also assaulted. These are three separate incidences that took place all involving drunk beachgoers as well.
How many years has this been going on for and we still don't have a solution?
I don't know.
And we're still not prepared.
So on Sunday, a Durban solid waste worker was just minding their own business, working near Blue Lagoon in Durban, and they were assaulted while they were cleaning an area. His keys were taken away as he tried to get back into his vehicle for safety. Metro Police had given chase but were unable to actually find these drunk beachgoers who were part of this. On Monday, a drunk woman got into a vehicle and knocked over a student traffic warden before hitting two other vehicles. Ugh. And then a third incident involving drunk people also took place this past Monday when a Metro police officer was assaulted by three men when he apprehended them for allegedly drinking in public. Thankfully, the three individuals on Monday's act were all arrested. And he says that just Durban is pleading with people saying, look, have fun, enjoy the beaches, go out, but just don't be silly, folks. Is that too much to ask?
It clearly is too much to ask. People don't want to behave. They want to be stupid.
I actually am ready to go home and mind my own business, because yesterday I was actually with friends and we were having dinner and we had stopped by somewhere as well. And all it takes is one person before things become stupid. It was one of my friends, and look, it's also my fault. One of my friends was like, you know, there's this like, you know, party happening, but I just need to go and say hi to one of my friends. And I'm like, okay, it's still 8:30, good innings. Cut to 11 p.m. and we were still out. I've never, and Gareth, you know, like, I don't really like to duck and dive, because I like to officially go out and say bye to everyone before I leave. I left those people at 11. I was like, listen, I'm sorry, I just need to go and find a power bank somewhere.
I was done
by 11, because I thought I'm not going to be wrapped up in the silliness of December. So this is how it all starts, and it's going to be a mess. It really will be.
Yeah, you don't go. Listen, I had a very big night on Wednesday night, and I actually got to the studio yesterday morning. I felt fine, but by 9 o'clock, I was like a vampire who hadn't had any blood. I had a little sleep in my office for 20 minutes because I was ruined.
Now, I don't ordinarily go out on Thursdays, but I was surprised by how many people are out.
Yeah.
Like this one place,
nothing to do.
Where I went yesterday, it was packed.
Wow.
Absolutely packed.
I did all my Christmas shopping online. Very proud of myself.
That's very clever.
It's all starting to arrive now. And my mom then said, oh, I also need to go Christmas shopping. Will you take me to the mall? Oh. So after all of that, I ended up at the mall anyway. And it was so weird. At about 11 o'clock, the noise just got louder and louder, the din.
11 a.m.
Of children's voices and people's voices. And there were people walking through the main door from the outside to the inside. And it actually got dark because they were blocking the light. There was just this horde of people that arrived at like 11.
Sounds like a zombie apocalypse.
We had just got into the lift because we were leaving. And there was another couple in there. And they said, what's going on? This is like the perfect time to leave. We were going, yeah, for sure. Let's get out of here.
Look, lest we forget, we are in the middle of school holidays. And this is going to easily continue up until halfway through Jan. Because, you know, I live in a complex with tons of kids as well. So I think it was Wednesday evening, and I was still awake at about 11 p.m. as well. And there's this middle-aged woman who lives in my specific block. There were kids still out playing, running around a bit, and they clearly were awake. I mean, let's not be too hard on the kids because it's school holidays. And this old lady just goes, can you all shut up? Some of us are trying to sleep. And I thought, I'm sure there are so many people, including me, who are secretly just clapping and applauding that lady for telling
those
kids
people
to shut up.
Let the kids have their fun. It's the holidays. What's wrong with you?
You can only take so much.
Yeah.
Even parents who elected to have these children can only take that much.
Who elected to have them.
They want to get out. They want date nights. They want they want babysitters.
When do you reckon your Melville breaking point is going to hit? Because You live, there's a lot that happens there.
Yeah.
You're in the belly of the beast, Wenelian.
I have reached my point many times, but I managed to break through it and just carry on.
Leanne, are you aware of these safe havens where some complexes, or I've lived in complexes where you're not allowed children below the age of 12 years old?
I know.
Really?
Yeah, it's a heaven. It's the slices of heaven exist. Just because you have kids, well, one side do you put up with them? I don't have kids.
Wait, how does that work? Like,
how do you get in? Suddenly, you piqued Sia's interest.
Yeah, I lived in a. So I was living in Cape Town, and I lived in a place where you couldn't. Yeah, if your kids were 12 years or younger.
Weren't allowed.
Sorry. Oh, it was fantastic. Heaven. Oh, it really was. Wow.
As great as of an idea as this is, I'm also just adding it to the list of things you hate. I'm now currently...
he's got an actual list.
Yeah, I'm currently on 7 things that you proudly hate.
Well, so. I don't mind kids, but I didn't have any. So at the restaurant, like your kids at a restaurant, Gareth, talk to me about that.
No. There's nothing to say. It's very messy.
Well, it's changed. When I used to go to a restaurant with my parents, I would sit underneath a table with a colouring in book the whole time. I'd come up to eat very quietly,
and your then whole go back under, was.
And then we'd get in the car and we'd go home.
Now?
I'm still well behaved, and I wish I could put children under the table.
What are the kids doing now?
No, Leanne's got a bigger table. She just sits under the...
You know,
and I do online colouring in.
When we had those bouts of load shedding, probably, 2 weeks ago, there was a point where my cousin and I just needed to charge all of our things. And we went out for dinner. And the closest thing was just a family restaurant near my place. And we thought, whatever, let's just go there. Because really, we don't even care about the food much. We just want a place with a generator to be able to charge. Bad decision, because now, especially with these family restaurants, they have their kids so well catered for that the parents just do not pay any attention at all to the kids. The kids were running all over the place. And, you know, like in all of these playrooms and play centers, there are now cameras. So the parents just have to sit at their table and just occasionally look at a screen that's, you know, live streaming what's happening in the playroom, and they don't have to do anything. But you're bumping into kids, and now you have crayon marks all over you.
Jesus, it sounds horrible.
It was
my
a lot.
God. See, I don't lie. We've been there on the aftermath of your Puzza Thursdays. Remember when you were missing Michelle?
Yeah. And now, last night, by the way, I don't like, since I have to drink less now, I don't like going out much because I have to be sober and see things. Like
you have to be drunk to experience some of the things that you have to.
I had a moment last night standing around looking at people going, what's going on here? It's not as fun anymore. So I think that's another reason why I called it a night early. Ugh.
Sure. Someone's getting old.
Yes. No. Well, also on the flip side, I met like 3 different listeners of the show. So shout out to you guys who were very nice and cool to chat to. And sorry, I forgot.
I got a photograph of you from last night, Sia.
Oh, from?
Someone sent me a picture of you at a party. Everyone is out because most people are on leave. This is an interesting point and a very necessary, valid point being made by Kucho. Says, stop being miserable. It's my last day of work today. Also, why haven't you posted Mbulelo's fashion on Insta already?
Oh, yeah, that's going up. Yeah.
Right now, please.
That's going up. That going. Yes.
All right, what else is happening, Ass?
Well, there is a new diet trend. So this is probably what's going to be dominating 2020.
Yes.
Everyone in Hollywood, that is doing this anti-inflammatory diet.
What is it?
Well, it's designed by a doctor, Dr. Weil, W-E-I-L.
Oh, of course, Dr. Weil, yeah.
I think it's Weil. I don't know if it's Whale, but that would Weil, be ironic if he was Dr. Weil and he did diets.
Yes.
So, it's all about inflammation and how sugar, chronic stress, and environmental toxins all contribute to inflammation, which is your immune system's response to irritants inside and outside your body.
Right.
So everything now is about this anti-inflammatory food list that's going around. A lot of dietitians are endorsing it. So these are Dr. Weil's anti-inflammatory foods. He's got a pyramid as well, a food pyramid.
Of course, you have to have the pyramid, otherwise you're not legit.
Otherwise correct. The scheme doesn't work.
But to me, it sounds amazing. I mean, I'm like with it. I think this might be my New Year's resolution.
Yes.
At the bottom of the pyramid is vegetables and fruits. There are specific ones as well that are specifically rich in flavonoids and have anti-inflammatory effects.
Okay.
Next is number 2 is beans and legumes, whole grains and pasta. So we're now getting back to the carb thing.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry for all carb naysayers. It will be low glycemic load food.
I don't know what that is. Take your word for it.
People who battle with their weight will know.
Okay.
Yeah, take my word for it. Number three is healthy fats. So 5 to 7 servings of healthy fats, like olive oil and avocado, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Olive oil itself is actually rich in antioxidants.
And also Popeye's girlfriend.
Yes, that's right. In fourth place, fish and shellfish. And then there are a few, you know, specific fish that he recommends. Whole soy foods is then on the list.
Soy.
Cooked Asian mushrooms comes in as well.
We had some of that when we went to that Chinese restaurant. Those mushrooms are good.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number seven is other sources of animal protein like eggs, yogurt, lean meats, etc. So it's flipping this anti-carb, full protein diet completely on its head.
All right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if people jump on the bandwagon with it.
Sure.
Eight is herbs and spices, so garlic, ginger, turmeric, cinnamon, all of those. Nine is tea, high in anti-inflammatory ingredients. Number 10 is supplements. 11, red wine. So he's saying about 2 glasses per week. That part I'm going to ignore.
Yeah.
12 is plain dark chocolate. So it's things that we know, but it's actually been constructed properly now and put into a pyramid so it's easier to understand.
Okay.
And there's actually what the celebs are doing at the moment is a specific challenge. It's called, just getting it quickly.
Is this one of those where you have to do like the planking or whatever else these stupid things are?
No, it's an F45 challenge, which combines an anti-inflammatory diet with exercise.
Who has the time to F45 times a day?
So you actually enter it online. And so the next challenge starts on the 3rd of February to the 29th of March.
How dare you?
44 days time. You get daily meal plans, weekly blogs and videos, and a 45-point plan for exercise.
Sure.
Jeepers.
And sounds like a lot of work.
Terry Hatcher's been, you remember her from Desperate Housewives?
Sort of.
She's been posting pictures of herself in a bikini. She looks amazing, and she's 55.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah, I watch that trend, diet trend.
There's always some fad or some trend, and you hop on board, and you think it's going to solve your problems and make your life better, and then it does nothing.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying.
We'll see.
Uh-huh. You ready to get real about Kim Jade Robinson? She's an MTV Africa and MTV Base Africa TV presenter. She's a model. She's a blogger. She's an MC. And she's talented. She's gorgeous. She's popped in for a visit this morning on the GCS. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, wow. Straight into it. Hi, guys. How are you?
Mess around.
How
are
you doing? Thank you so much for having me. This is really great.
What are you up to?
A lot.
For Christmas and for the holidays.
Ooh. Christmas, I'm doing Durban. Just getting away for 4 days.
I bump into see her at all the most rubbish places.
Ah, okay. So you who I'm hitting up for the good times.
All right. So you've got family there?
No, we're just going.
You're just going down on holiday?
Yeah, because Cape Town gets wild.
Yeah, stay
and
away.
And it's too much. It's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Durban's chill. The food is good. The people are a vibe.
Is that a genuine Louis Vuitton bag?
Yes.
Is that why you're putting it in your lap instead of putting it down?
I literally just sat down.
You worried someone here is going to steal it?
No.
I thought you were worried someone is going to steal your bag.
Yes, but also we don't like putting our bags on the floor.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
apparently it's bad luck, right? It's superstition to say, if you put your bag on the floor, then you're going to lose money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. Yeah.
Oh, hell. Mm-hmm. That's tough. Then that's probably why I'm losing so much money. Let's put my bag on the floor. All right, so you've become recognizable as a presenter for MTV Base and as a Revlon ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually from Zim originally.
Yes, born and raised, proudly.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. So tell me what the work at MTV Base is all about.
So we have a couple shows that we shoot regularly. Newsish is a daily news show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was shooting a show called The DM, which is my show, which was really cool because it was the first kind of interview chat show, which was aired on MTV Africa in 43 different countries.
Wow.
And I was producing, hosting, and scripting that at the time and casting it. So, like,
jeez,
everything.
I make you do the lot.
No, it's great. It's cool because once they greenlight something, they really give you the freedom to run with it. Which is, I don't know, it's not very common in a lot of production companies.
But it is interesting, like TV, the amount of work you have to do has become more.
Mm.
The money's less than it's ever been. And you're competing for the eyes that are on YouTube, that are on Netflix, that are on every other channel too. You know, it was easier once when there were only so many programs.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to work really hard.
Do you remember back in the day when you used to have to sit with your family and wait for a show to come on at 8 p.m. and, you know?
And I saw this funny thing the other day that people say kids now will never understand how you would rush to grab something from the kitchen or to go to pee
to
or whatever.
Yeah.
Just so that you wouldn't miss the start of the show after the commercials.
Yeah. Between the break.
Kids never know that. They'll just press a button and they put it on hold and they go and make themselves something to eat and then they come back.
Or they just carry their phone that they're watching it on with them to the loo.
Yeah, or the kitchen. It's amazing. All right, but TV's, I mean, it's a fun thing to do, right? You enjoy it?
For sure. I'm learning a lot. And I think what's really cool about where I'm working at the moment is they let you sit in on all the meetings. So if you want to sit in on the marketing, commercial, events planning, everything. Hmm. And so I'm learning the business 360 inside out. And I just registered my own production company. So I plan on using that information.
And that's what you want to do is produce TV shows?
I mean, I want to just create cool content. So whether it's digital living online or something we pitch to a Netflix, that's what I want to do. Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. What would be the ideal project for you?
Travel and food show into Africa. I feel like that's everyone's dream. Like, I wish I could travel and stay in fabulous hotels and eat food.
It always looks like so glamorous, but really you know, if you've done, if you've spent any time in TV, those people work their backsides off. They have to carry this heavy camera equipment around. They usually don't stay in the smart hotels. They get allowed in.
Yeah.
They're allowed in to film it.
Yep.
But they don't give you a room. And you travel economy. And it's a schlep.
Gareth, you're being such a downer
now.
Like, it is true. People don't know the reality of it.
And people look at a job like yours being on TV and they think, oh, it's all glamour and fun. But they don't realize it's like hours and hours of editing and stuck in a studio. Yep. And then someone's rigging the lights for 2 hours and you just have to wait.
Yep. Worse when you have celebrity guests, right?
Oh,
I think that's why your team was like calling at 5 a.m. Are you still coming? Are you still coming? I'm here, guys.
Yeah, because
I'm
people don't pitch.
Yeah, and it's rude. It's so rude. Yeah.
Who's been rude to you lately?
No one.
You can bust people.
They come on time for me because they know I'm OCD.
This is your chance to out the people who are always late.
One of my best friends is always late, but not like a cute 15, 20. Like 45 to an hour. And we have her on a regular. We're like, we're quoted to unfriending you because you don't respect us.
But what do you do with someone like that? Give us some advice because we all have a friend who's...
Yo, it's the worst thing.
You just tell them a different time, an earlier time.
Oh, yeah, you lie to them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to start doing that, actually.
Yeah, but then...
Because she can't be trusted.
On the one
but
day...
But when you figure it out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I was meant to meet some people on one of the days last week and... I said 6 o'clock and then someone changed it to 7, but we didn't tell the one guy.
Oh, yes.
So he arrived at 6 o'clock. So then I get a call from him like, oh, you didn't tell me it was 7 o'clock. I said, well, I didn't know it was my responsibility to. So in that case, I would have been punished. But this poor idiot was standing there at 6 o'clock waiting.
Shame.
It happens. All right. So tell me a little bit about your family. Where you, what kind of, you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah. I come from a big family.
How
Both
many?
Both my parents remarried. There's altogether 7 kids.
Your.
Can you imagine buying Christmas presents?
No wonder you're not going to Christmas with them.
Yeah. I mean, shame. One of my siblings is coming to Durban. So we're going to vibe. Okay. But yeah, if we can avoid all of them, that's not bad.
Well, you say you were shy when you grew up.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. You're so, you know, you're an extrovert.
Now.
You were shy as a kid?
Yeah, extremely shy, awkward, very insecure, badly bullied. I mean, I talk publicly about it. I mean, I used to sit in the toilet cubicles and have my break because I really had no friends and I hated junior school.
You would
school.
Go to the toilet during break?
Yeah, and just eat my break. Or I'd ask the teachers for extra work, so I'd be forced to sit in the classroom and work.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible. How did you break out of that and become an extrovert who had friends?
I feel like a lot of people can relate to being in spaces where they just really don't fit in.
Yeah.
And they feel like people just don't understand
them. What was it about school that made you not fit in? Do you remember? Was it just the other kids being mean or was it like you that you were just different?
I think I was different and I think I was weird and I didn't find kids like in my school that I could relate to that understood the things I was interested in. But that's why, you know, it's so good to speak about this because when I do talk about my story, I'm like, when I went to high school, I found other weirdos that were just like me, that weren't cool, that didn't fit in,
I mean,
we joined cultural clubs.
Don't you think all kids feel a little... isolated at some point. Even the kids who look popular sometimes go home and they feel sad because they're not popular enough, or for they sure. don't have the friends that they really want, or they don't have meaningful conversations. They're trying to keep up with the others, the other kids in that in the in crowd.
I think, yeah, it does happen at some point for everyone. But for some people, it's like a chronic thing.
Yeah.
And for you to talk about it is so brave. A lot of people won't admit to say I didn't have any friends or I'd sit in the loo. I mean, I was a librarian and a library prefect for that reason
really?
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I could just have something to do at break time because I didn't want to sit with everybody.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is majority of the kids in school are not the cool kids and are not the popular kids. And worse, because nowadays we're adding the layer of social media and cyberbullying.
Oh, okay, so this, I want to talk to you about this.
Yeah, because now that increases everything. There's proven statistics and research done that the increase in anxiety, depression, and attempted suicide among the youth because there's that added layer of cyberbullying.
Now, when you say you were bullied, tell me what kind of bullying that was, and then we can get into the cyberbullying stuff because it's such a real problem for parents and for kids and for everybody. Everyone's concerned about it.
For me, it was about my looks and the fact that I couldn't speak. I was extremely quiet and I was smaller than everyone else.
So what was it about
scrawny.
Your looks?
Just, I don't know. And I had bad, really, really bad teeth. Like, really.
But you don't, I mean, look at you now.
I had braces for 2.5 years. Thank you, Mom.
You're a TV presenter now.
Yeah, I mean, but also that's what makes you more relatable and more human. And that's why you can connect to more people is because, you know, you were the underdog and the weirdo. And there's more weirdos and underdogs than there are the cool kids.
So when it comes to cyberbullying.
Yeah.
How are we going to solve this problem? Let's all put our minds together here and then come up with something. Because if you're a kid and you're growing up now, you not only have to deal with the actual douchebags in your class, or maybe you have a family that are just not nice to you. And this happens to a lot of people. Yeah. Maybe your parents aren't even nice to you. And you then live in a world where you're constantly looking for acceptance. You're looking for love. You're looking for attention. And the internet is like this.
It's a toxic place.
This machine that just gives attention to people, right? So people look for attention in the wrong ways. They tend to be influenced by the wrong things. And then they see other people whose lives look so perfect that it makes them feel small and unimportant and inconsequential. That's not very nice.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up, hey, because it's a conversation we really need to start having, especially because our parents come from a generation where they don't understand social media.
No.
They don't understand why kids so badly want to be liked, want their pictures to be liked, want to get followers. They don't get it. But what it really boils down to is the socialization of wanting to be accepted. That's it. Full stop, the end. And we had this, I hosted a panel discussion with Viacom and UNICEF when we were talking to a group of girls about cyberbullying. And what it came down to and what came up in the panel discussion is, yes, the internet can be a very toxic, very dark place, but there are things that you can do to protect yourself from the content that you're seeing. For example, did you know that on Twitter, you can type into your settings that there are specific words that you just can't see, that just get blocked?
Really?
Yeah. Ugly, fat, you know, lame, nerdy. You can type that into your settings on Twitter and those things just won't appear on your timeline.
So will the whole tweet not appear?
Yes. Also with your social media account, I really encourage girls that are, I think, younger to have private accounts simply because there's some real perverts out there. And there was a while ago where a bunch of celebrities' kids were getting, you know, kidnapped and, you know, because it's just it's become a place for pedophiles and criminals to be able to easily find victims. And these kids are posting in real time where they are and what they're doing.
Terrifying.
You know?
It's terrifying.
So there's that. But we also need to have chats with our parents and make them understand it and show them what it is so it doesn't seem like such a dark and scary place. An intimidating place.
It's also interesting that girls are the worst bullies on social media. And girls are also the victims of the bullies. So it's women on women, effectively.
As in real life, right? Because women are harder on each other than they are.
Well, I think boys in real life beat each other up and they fight more. And that's part of being a boy. And guys are kind of conditioned to that. It's not acceptable. But as long as there's a little bit of competition with men, it's usually a good thing. With women, it's very subversive and it's very dangerous. Othering. It's, you know, like, that girl's not cool. And then she is just cut out completely from her real world friends and online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And once it happens, once a girl is outed by other girls as the uncool one at school, that never goes away. People remember it from day dot until you graduate.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the two or three of the girls who were unpopular at school. They're still unpopular.
Oh.
Shame, Garrett. I thought that was inspiring shot so early in the morning.
I thought there was going to be like an inspiring end to the story. Clearly not.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about you. Your career highlights. You interviewed supermodel Naomi Campbell once, and you flew to New York City to cover the MTV Video Music Awards.
Naomi didn't throw a phone at you.
She did not throw a phone at me. Thanks a lot.
Was she very nice?
You know how they tell you don't meet your heroes?
Yeah.
Oh. It was that kind of situation. But to be fair, you know, you really can't judge these people that are super famous. She was okay. What I found interesting was when you're sitting down and interviewing someone on camera, mm-hmm. in general, you're both in frame. Mm-hmm. Or you're kind of edge of frame and they're in the middle. What was interesting that she specifically wanted was that anyone interviewing her, their back must be facing the camera.
Fabulous.
And she's here. So you're like kind of left of frame, but it's only the back of your head.
Fabulous.
And then she's like in all her Naomi glory.
I actually want that.
No!
What are my terms and conditions
I
now?
Can't.
Anyone who wants to take a photo with me must be like in the edge of the frame.
Yeah, no eye contact.
You're not.
Show your back.
You're not Naomi Campbell. She's earned the right to be
she
a bitch.
Really absolutely.
Yeah,
she really has.
And the MTV VMAs, what was that like?
That was really cool. We were actually on the red carpet interviewing celebrities, but what people don't tell you is that they don't take us in Africa seriously.
No, they put you at the end of a very,
we were literally
long carpet.
At the very, very end with the digital teams. Mm. So how it works is they have priority of the most important people because it's an MTV event. Right at the top, they have MTV USA, and at the time, it was the cast of Jersey Shore. So Paulie and Vinny were right at the top, so they get the first celebrities, right? And this carpet is long as... It's really long. Mm. And so it goes the top media stations in the States, and they bring the UK teams, and then they have radio, and then they have digital, and then they had MTV Africa.
Wow.
So really? By the time, and the crazy thing is,
and
the carpet.
You suddenly felt like you were back at school.
I was like, wow. Oh. But I immediately started talking to the people next to me because the complex teams and the high snob teams, they really have a major digital presence. So when someone's coming along and I really didn't know who the celeb was, I'm like, hey, guys, hook us up. Who's this person? And then they're like, this is why they're relevant. And we actually got some really cool content. Yeah. Because here, we're not exposed to everybody that they're exposed to. They have a lot of new kids that they know are hip.
And also, you know, you got to realize, like, for the celebrities themselves walking this red carpet, it's like an ordeal from hell. They hate it. They get asked the same stupid question by everybody. And then if you stop at every one, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You have to get in there. Yeah. You want to get your award and you want to get the hell out.
Mm, exactly.
It's horrible. Exactly. Who was the most important person who walked past you?
King Combs. So is Diddy's son, who is now becoming a major artist.
Very low-level people if he was
Shame.
The biggest person to
that is
Shame.
Low-level.
It's really sad. But
very
we,
impoverished
we see
crowd.
People, I know. And then you get like the reality stars, so the Love and Hip Hop crowd.
Shame.
I mean, it wasn't a Kardashian, but I got to sit and watch J-Lo do her. She received the Vanguard Award.
See, for J-Lo, it's even worse.
I love her.
Jesus. I mean, this is what a waste of your time to go to New York.
I cried during her performance. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah, you cried because you couldn't believe that.
I cried because I was like, there's a little Zoom kid that was literally on the red carpet, the same red carpet. I'm like, I walked where they walked, and now I'm watching them. And this is surreal.
Yeah.
Did you tell them you're from Zim?
I used the Africa card because, you know, African-American people love that. They're like, where are you from? The continent? The motherland?
Yeah.
Where? Okay, where Africa? Where are you from? And I'm like, Zimbabwe. And they've never heard of Zimbabwe. They know South Africa. They know Cape Town. But so I was like, Zimbabwe?
Did you
Zimbabwe?
Say it like that? You said Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Bulawayo. Zimbabwe.
Quite a very long time we live in Zimbabwe. So you tell people you talk like that a little bit.
No,
so
I really just, I was like, Zimbabwe. It sounds foreign. And they're like, cool.
Hello. Oi. Come over here.
Yeah,
let me interview you.
Close to Wakanda. Say what's up.
Close to Wakanda.
All right. So when you talk about Zim, what do they know anything about Zim?
No. Mm-hmm.
None of them, huh?
No one knows anything about Zim.
Americans
but
especially.
They still think that Africa's a country.
Yeah, they do.
And they ask you if there's lions running around.
Yes.
But you know, they say that, but here in South Africa, I get so many ignorant questions about my country still.
Yes, like,
you know, we're neighbors.
Do you use your currency for toilet paper.
Did you swim across to get here? Someone in uni, I'm not exaggerating, she's a university student, second year. She asked me if we have trees in Zimbabwe.
No.
I was like, your education system has failed you.
Yes, but you guys have really a superior education system.
You do.
We do. Thank you.
You really do.
Thank you.
If we could, if we could only learn from that, yeah, we'd do a lot better. Do you get adoption offers while you're over there from Americans who go, oh my God, it's so wonderful you're here from Africa. Would you like to live here, little girl? Like, you look young, you know?
Thank you. Do you know that I'm 30 next year?
It's amazing.
Wow. You look, what?
Jesus, yeah. You've got to teach us how. You look fantastic.
Thank what you. I will take that.
Oh, gosh.
You know, when you're 60, you'll be as hot as J-Lo.
And maybe be able to sing. She's terrible. J-Lo's terrible.
And that. Imagine if she could act.
Oh my goodness. That's why Ben Affleck had to get rid of her. You're terrible.
Number 8 on things Mbulelo hates.
If only J-Lo could act and sing, she'd be such a star.
She'd be swimming in money, recognized all over the world, receiving international awards. Shame. She's struggling. Shame.
Have you seen her dancing in her latest movie?
Have. How good was that movie? No, I really enjoyed it, guys.
What movie?
Also, I'm a J-Lo fan. Hustler?
No,
she's a stripper.
She's a stripper. Yeah.
No, I've never watched
Cardi
that.
Cardi B,
you watch the training that she had to go through.
Cardi B
movie.
Was a stripper though, yeah. So yeah. I would watch it for Cardi B because I like her. She's as genuine as it's possible to be.
Yes.
Now I was in New York in, this is now October last year, or is it this year? I think it was this year, and I went to one of the shows that they recorded there, and they had Cardi B on. I was very excited.
Yes.
Seeing her was the highlight of my year. It was last year, I think.
Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. She's terrific.
She is major. And
she's
doing
so funny.
Such incredible
she's so
things.
Real.
Because that's why she's so loved, hey? Because she's like, I'm not trying to be anything that I'm not. When I got money, I got my titties done. When I got money, I got my teeth done. Mm. You know what I mean? But she's still super
what do you
hood.
What do you want to have done? Anything you want to do, or are you happy with you?
I'm so happy with me. Mm. Yeah.
How many Louis Vuitton bags do you have?
Yes, tell us.
3.
What's the fluffy little thing that hangs on the
I just added
bag?
That because it's fun.
Didn't come with the bag?
No.
You're not worried it cheapens the bag. The bag a little bit?
If it's fine. It's okay.
Now, is this particular bag one of those 50 grand ones? Oh, she nodded her head. That's very impressive. Aren't you worried some homeless person is going to take it from you as you walk out of our
homeless,
studios?
Homeless? They'll clearly
look
be
at you, you're
very
encouraging
employed.
The Africa stereotype that it's not safe. Don't do that
in New York.
Yeah.
Hmm? Homeless people take Louis Vuitton bags anywhere they can find them.
Accurate.
They're all stacked outside Jeffree Star's new house, waiting for him
Who's
to come out.
Who's that again?
There we go.
Super famous internet. He's just bought a house for $14 million.
YouTuber kid.
Mm. No, he's a makeup guy, right?
Well, yeah, makeup, but he's much more than that.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, he's on Vimeo
Don't
as well.
Put him in a box.
Yeah, he's
Gareth.
Not just on YouTube, he's on Vimeo as well, Gareth.
Tell me about Jeffree Star's house, Leanne. I'm so
Ooh.
Excited.
Oh, it's got like parlors and parlor rooms and movie houses, and it's huge. It's near Kim's house, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Yes, in the valley.
In the valley. Wow. All right, so what would you like to do from the point of view of presenting shows still that you haven't done? Because you've pretty much covered a lot of the bases.
I have done
here.
A lot of really cool things.
Yeah.
I just think for me, my interest, when people make it here, the sad thing is they're like, okay, cool. Now New York. Mm. Now LA. Mm. I want to go into Africa.
Yes.
So I'm really, really interested in, because unfortunately here in South Africa, even in Zim, we don't really know much about our fellow African countries.
No.
We don't know about their culture. We don't know about their music. We live in such a bubble. And then we claim to be proudly African, right?
No.
So that's my tip. I want to go into Ghana. I want to learn more about those countries and be able to share those stories. Because the sad thing is, more often than not, the overseas, they come here and they tell their version of our stories and our heroes and what our people are doing, and I don't think we're doing that enough. So that's what
so
I
you
would
you've
do.
Worked with and go through some of these things. You won Women in Media Awards, the 5th annual Zimbabwe International Women's Awards. That's
yes.
nice. So you were
yeah.
included in the Forbes 30 Under 30.
Yes.
Very good. You were
Thank
part
you.
Of the top 100 most influential young Africans.
Yes, sir.
You had a fashion collaboration with Great Africa.
Yes.
Hmm.
That was really cool. And 100% of the profits went to Home of Hope for Girls, which takes in girls that have been involved in human trafficking, child prostitution, and kids that have been used as drug
What's
mules.
What's it called?
Home of Hope.
Home of Hope
yes.
for Girls.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
And you've also done some work with the Special Olympics?
Yes.
What's
I'm
that?
One of their ambassadors.
Okay.
Yes.
So Special Olympics is not Paralympics. Special Olympics is for people who have intellectual disabilities.
Yes, 100%.
Right.
Look at you, you woke.
Okay. So please don't ever call me woke. I will leave the studio.
It's like my show, but I will leave.
Biggest insight. I will. I'll switch it all off and you guys can handle the rest of it for the last time. No, no, but the Special Olympics, this is what was started by Arnold Schwarzenegger's mother-in-law.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Maria Shriver's mom. I can't remember her name now. Anyway, she's a Kennedy. And her eldest sister called Rosemary had a mental disorder, a mental disability. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, the whole family kind of just left this woman in an institution and she was lobotomized and treated
That's
very
so
badly.
Sad.
Yeah, and they decided they wanted to start the Olympics for people who had intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. But it's quite like heartbreaking to see some of these people, and they just have such a love and such a passion and such an energy for what they're doing, and they don't let anything get in their way.
And did you know that the Special Olympics team brings home more medals every single year than any other South African team?
Yeah, but they make it easier for them.
Wow. Wow, Gareth. I'm going to ignore that comment. I'm going to leave. Actually, say that one more time. Then you can finish the show without me. Just joking.
All right, we're going to go to George Meany's on Skype this morning. If you're wondering who we're talking to, it's Kim Jade Robinson. And George Meany's on the line. He is live from some undisclosed location. Hey, George, how are you?
I'm good, and you, Gareth?
Good. Are you having a holiday yet?
I am having a holiday, and I decided to not undisclose my location. I've come to the beautiful country of Mauritius.
Oh, very nice, George. Mm. We can hear the palm trees swaying in the wind, and we can hear the waves breaking gently on the shore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That perfect crystal clear water, those white beaches. I'm so fucking jealous now. When I'm talking about that.
Good. Plane leaves once a day, Gareth. You're
welcome. Yeah, yeah. All right. So what's going on in the world of motoring, George?
Well, you were talking about children earlier.
Yes.
And earlier this month, a 22-year-old son deliberately damaged a brand new BMW by scratching a key across the bodywork to try and force his father to buy him a car.
What do we think of this child?
Where's the logic?
Well, there is no logic there. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But the same thing happened in China with a 3-year-old. This 3-year-old, they walked into a dealership to have a look at the brand new Audis in this dealership. And this 3-year-old child took a stone and damaged 10 cars.
Jeez, like, incredible. How violent is he?
This is why I say, don't have
kids,
George.
10 cars this child damaged.
Yeah, George, we were just talking a little earlier about not taking kids to restaurants. So this is another reason. Don't have kids. Hmm.
Don't take your kid car shopping. Apparently, the dealership sued for $38,000. Eventually, the parents refused to pay, took it to court, and the judge ordered the parents to pay $13,500, citing that the child is still maybe still young, but the child doesn't understand, and therefore the parents are responsible.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Wow. Mm-mm. No, that kid must be taken into a cage. And put in the cage at night, and then during the day, put in the cobalt mine.
Kids these days, we would never try that because our parents would beat us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's how we've ended up working so hard.
Exactly.
We're shit scared we're going to get a beating.
Accurate.
What else, George?
Well, Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot have finally signed a merger agreement to the value of $50 billion. That's 718 billion rands. Don't know how many Zimbabwean dollars that is, but 718 billion rands.
There's some shade for you.
Wow.
Kim's like hiding under the table. She's like, that didn't be so much money in my country.
In Zimbabwe.
To buy the whole of the south of the country.
And all the Louis Vuitton bags.
Wow, guys. Wow.
All right.
So Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot are yet to decide on a name for the new company, but their intention is to try and cut 3.7 billion euros or 58 billion rand in costs per annum without closing factories. So the authorities are watching that they don't retrench people because apparently they employ about 400,000 people across the two companies.
I'm glad you got that sentence out, George. For a minute there, I was going to enroll you in the Special Olympics.
I feel like the Special Olympics, looking at this beach, wanting to go.
We just got a picture of George's view this morning. It's really looking very nice, George. It's
so
stunning. It's a good day, huh?
We hate you.
Yeah. It's a very good day. Very good day.
Good day to be George Mooney.
And so, how much do you think your car knows about you?
My car knows nothing about me because my car is a car. Am I wrong?
Well, exactly. So, well, you might be wrong. A technologist or a technology columnist by the name of Jeffrey A. Fowler.
Yes, I know.
Had a partnership going with an engineer and decided to hack a 2017 Chevy Volt.
Yeah.
And to try and figure out what data this car is actually collecting on him. They couldn't access a lot of the car system. So one of his columns say it's not as easy as it is as it seems on TV to hack into stuff. He said, but they got into the car and they found a wealth of data, including logs of phone calls, contacts, and even emails that the car is storing.
What I'm concerned about here is that some cars are obviously much more electronically updated and more connected and more Internet of Things, organized than other cars. So how much does your car know about you, and what could people actually find out? Like, how is my car ever going to become a security threat to me?
Well, I mean, I suppose if it can be hacked in these locations.
So they could find out where your home address is. I got you. All right.
Then I'm safe, because in my car, if I want to charge my phone, I have to use a cigarette lighter, and that's broken. So I'm safe.
Sure. That's what you think. All right. Very
no
good.
Bluetooth going on there.
Leanne's got a foolproof plan. She switches her car off and she can hide from the authorities.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else you want to throw in, George?
Yep. So car makers are starting to climb onto the green bandwagon, and Ford has integrated coffee beans, the waste chaff from coffee beans, mixing it with plastics to create pellets that are now molded into their headlamp housings as well as other parts of the car.
Okay.
Bentley is using grapes and rice and molding that into some of the leather and the textile products within the car. VW is using apple skins in the process to make their leather material. And Jaguar Land Rover is using old plastic bottles, or what was going to the landfills, to make the plastic parts of their car as well.
So when you said food instead of Ford, you actually really meant it.
Yes.
And I think. Yeah.
I think the sea air is causing my brain to switch off.
No, that's okay. Yeah. George, I saw a brilliant picture of Prince Andrew with a 15-year-old escort. No, the car, the Ford Escort.
How did I not see that? That should be trending.
I freaked out.
So I just thought you needed to look that up for me and see if there are any 15-year-old Ford Escorts on
Auto Trader
this morning, so that we can maybe go and buy them and then put a cutout picture of Prince Andrew next
month. Goodness.
Make for a good meme.
Wow. That was really funny.
If you buy an escort now, if that is the case, then perhaps you'll make some money.
Really?
Well, because of this.
Well, I mean, because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
there is one Ford Escort on the site at the moment for $39,990.
I was just looking.
That's great. All right, so there we go. We can go and get one. Thank you, George. You're always on the money. Very good.
All right. Very lastly, an Australian man cooked a pork roast in Australia on one of Australia's hottest days. Inside the car, it got to a staggering 81 degrees Celsius. Took 10 hours to cook the pork roast. And his whole point was, do not leave animals and children in cars.
That is revolting.
Ew.
To cook a pork roast inside your car.
Imagine the smell. Look, his sentiments are admirable, but the smell is... Imagine that.
Ew. How old is that Ford Escort?
1985.
So
1.6L.
35.
So 35-year-old escort. You see, that's too old for Prince Andrew.
I see.
The vehicle includes
too old.
Includes its fogs and mags.
And you could
no cook. Service history.
If you take it to Polokwane now, you can cook a pork roast
for 10 hours.
All right, thanks, George. Nice to speak to you.
You're welcome. Cheers, guys.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day in Mauritius. I mean, it's going to be really tough, George. You know, playing in the water. All right. Someone says here, if that little asshole with the car that George mentioned to us earlier, who keyed the car, if he was in the coal mines, he wouldn't be keying cars.
Such a good point.
Let's not go down this road, please.
Next year, we promise much more children in coal mines and talks.
Yes. Like, prevention is better than cure.
We're going to find ways for you to keep your children busy and out of trouble.
No, that's not what I promise. No.
I'm
that's
there.
What we're going to do.
I'm on.
Bulelo and I are going to find new employment schemes for children. Yes, with their little hands they can fix electronics and do useful stuff. You going to join us, Kim?
I doubt Kim's the type of person
we'll start
who would join you on that.
An employment agency for minors.
Why don't you start with your nephews and get them on YouTube?
Yes.
Get them making money on YouTube.
I'm not for this idea, but I'm for the branding. You can pay me 15% for this, like minor miners.
There we go.
That is terrible.
There we go. Yes.
That is he's bowing right now. You can't see, but he's taking
Thank
a bow.
You. I'm All going right. home now to hug my nieces and nephew. Yeah.
Kim, it's very nice to have you here and have a happy Christmas and New Year.
Thank you so much. Same to you guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure. Sia, we will see you in the New Year.
Oh, God.
Sia in the New Year.
That was cheesy.
It's like 10 days.
So cheesy.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
That is so not hard.
Everywhere you go.
Jesus Christ, that's horrible.
I forgot the rest of the words.
Beep, 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 beep.
Isn't that awful?
That was so bad.
So bad.
To be subjected
so
to
glad
that.
It's the last day.
Really?
Made it. It's 5 past. Can we go now?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's finish it off with this, because I think Sia will appreciate it, and we're going to choose the cheesiest version we can find.
Oh, yes. Fabulous.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Now, you can choose here. You can either have Johnny Mathis. Nobody really knows what race he was. And if you look at a picture of him, sometimes he looks a bit white, sometimes he looks a
bit
black.
He's one of those that's
sometimes,
other.
Sometimes he looks like he could be from like the South Pacific. You really don't know with Johnny Mathis.
Like Jessica Alba. She's also weird. She could
she's
be.
She's hot. He's
she's
not
She's so hot, guys. Wow.
She's gorgeous.
And he's still alive?
Johnny Mathis. Yeah, have you seen what he looks like?
He's
you see what
still
I mean?
Alive. He's 84 years old.
You pass that picture around, let everybody guess what race he is.
This is a fun game.
This is a game Hendrik Verhoerd used to play with his friends.
He looks like he could be like Indian. No. Especially now, like the current photo.
Yeah,
let's play him.
He looks like he identifies as Biltong. Okay, I'm gone. I'm really gone. Okay, bye guys. Happy New Year.
All right,
good holidays,
you.
Yeah.
Right. See you on Monday, everybody.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
CliffCentral.com